The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week, Europe's largest floating wind farm off the Aberdeenshire coast gets the green light. MPs discuss helicopter safety, and an oil report says a skill shortage is holding back growth. But first, an environmental campaigner who spent 2 months in prison in Russia for a protest against oil drilling says further rigged protests will for sure continue. The comments from the Greenpeace activist come after 30 people were arrested for a demonstration against drilling at a Russian fixed gas platform in the Arctic in September. Some still detained face possible trial for charges of hooliganism. Europe's largest floating wind farm has been given the go-ahead off the Aberdeenshire coast. The High Wind project will see 5 turbines operate around 20 miles off the coast of Peterhead. The Crown Estate granted an agreement for lease to Norwegian multinational Statoil. It's after the firm successfully demonstrated the world's first full-scale floating turbine in 2009. Lang Banks is from WWF Scotland.
This is really great news. It's a landmark announcement that really could put Scotland on the map when it comes to developing offshore wind technologies. I mean, Scotland already has a huge offshore wind resource. It's got about a quarter of Europe's total offshore wind resource. But if we're going to really be able to tap into that clean energy potential, then we must continue to develop ways to operate offshore, and especially in deeper waters, which is one of the big challenges that faces the industry.
For those of us that don't know a great deal about wind power, explain to us how it works with it being underwater.
Well, basically, the way people know what a typical wind turbine looks like. Well, you have to imagine that beneath that the sea, there is another part of the turbine which goes into the water in order to balance, stop the turbine falling over. And, these things are going to be operating in depths of water greater than 100 metres. And, they're 20 to 30 kilometres off the coast of Peterhead. So they're in challenging conditions. And so that's why this technology and the fact that Scotland is potentially going to be able to develop this technology is really important, because if Scotland can get this technology right, then there are many countries around the world who are also looking to try and develop offshore wind technologies, and floating turbines will be about the only way that they'll be able to do that.
I'm guessing then, with WWF supporting it, there aren't any huge environmental concerns with using these.
Well, interestingly enough, this has the opportunity, in fact, to reduce some of the potential impacts often associated with traditional sea-based turbines, which, of course, are piled into the sand or the gravel or the seabed. So, in some respects, they could even be even better for the environment. And that's something that is definitely worth us looking into.
Could Scotland potentially become a world leader in this technology? I mean, I know Norway are already starting to use it, so does that mean we're a little bit behind at the moment?
Well, Norway have only got one turbine in operation, and it's true to say that they were the first to develop it, but the reality is Scotland has exactly the conditions where we can scale these things up, that we can put them into place in clusters of turbines, and we can bring the electricity ashore. So I think we have an opportunity to leapfrog other countries in developing this technology, and that's why this project really is good news. Not just that, if we get it right, it will have many multiple wins. We could be cutting climate emissions, we could be creating clean energy jobs, and the top bonus is we could be generating export opportunities for Scotland.
MPs this week discussed calls for a full public inquiry into offshore helicopter safety. Aberdeen North member Frank Dorrance raised the issue in an adjournment debate in the House of Commons. Investigations are already looking at each of the 5 incidents in the North Sea in as many years, claiming a total of 20 lives. But speaking to North Sound's Derek Ferguson, Mr. Dorrance says they should be brought together.
I've made a request to the Secretary of State for Transport that the department should hold a full public inquiry looking into every corner and every aspect of transport offshore. We've had a significant number of deaths over the years, going way back to the 1970s, and most recently there are 20 deaths from 2 of the 5 incidents we've had in the last 4 years. At the moment, they are focusing only on the most recent incident, which was the August 2013 crash, where we had 4 deaths, and they haven't considered the wider picture. My aim in this debate is to lay out on the table for the Transport Secretary all of the reasons why he should hold a full public inquiry. inquiry and he shouldn't delay any further. There are a number of inquiries underway at the moment. There's a civil aviation inquiry. There is the Select Committee on Transport considering an inquiry. And in January, the fatal accident inquiry into the 2009 crash where we had 16 deaths, that will start. But all of these could be rolled into one inquiry and have a much more comprehensive examination of the transport system offshore.
So is that what you're going to be calling for then, as full an inquiry as possible?
Exactly, and it needs to be one which covers every issue. For example, I mentioned the Civil Aviation Authority inquiry. They can't examine themselves. They are the regulator. They have been asked by the Secretary of State to carry out an inquiry, which I understand is going to report in January. That's not a full inquiry because it will miss one fundamental thing at least, and that is an examination of how they operate in the North Sea. And the oil industry is considering its own inquiry, and again, it's not independent. It has to be a fully independent public inquiry sponsored by the Department of Transport.
The energy company Npower this week confirmed it's cutting 1,460 jobs in the UK. The firm's German owner RWE announced earlier this month that nearly 7,000 positions would be going across Europe.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Three quarters of North Sea oil and gas operators are having recruiting problems, according to research. The Aberdeen and Grampian Chamber of Commerce's 19th survey into the industry says a skill shortage is holding back growth. That's despite high confidence among firms, with a record number of contractors looking to take on staff. Policy Director James Bream told my colleague Derek Ferguson it's a challenge for the sector.
There's some really fascinating statistics that we've found, like the fact that 98% of contractors are looking to recruit over the next period. We see continued growth in employment across the operator and contractor sector. But you're right, it's not without its challenges in terms of actually sourcing these staff.
Okay, and I understand the big concern is the kind of skills shortage out there.
Yeah, the skills shortage is no new thing. It's been going on for, you know, as long as we've been doing this survey, and oil and gas companies are very flexible. And one of the fascinating things that we've found is that actually around half of the contractors in the marketplace are now looking out with the sector as their main source of new talent.
And there's branching out from that, there's also the concern about the upcoming independence referendum, the uncertainty that brings the business.
Yeah, we've obviously timed this. The research was undertaken before the white paper yesterday, but the facts are that business are looking, particularly the oil and gas sector, for facts on things like fiscal policies and regulation, and some of that was covered in the white paper.
So what do you think, from the white paper, obviously just taking your reading on it, from that, how much do you think that addressed the concerns that the firms are having?
It's too early to say. I think there's 10 months to go. These are small steps along the way in the debate over the next 10 months, and more information will be provided along that route, so it's very early days.
Kenny Payton's from the law firm Bond Dickinson, who co-sponsored the survey.
I think the main takeaway is certainly that the industry is buoyant and confidence is as high now as it has been over certainly the last 10 years. There's been record investment with up to £13.5 billion being committed and spent this year. Activity levels are leading to 98% of companies in the UKCS looking to recruit. And this is leading to increased wages and hiring from other sectors, such as the armed forces, for instance. Skill shortages are always something that the oil industry has lived with over the years, but it does seem to be getting more and more acute. And certainly staff shortages are at their highest since before the recession in 2007. We live in a very buoyant community. However, house prices are very expensive. The infrastructure is still certainly in need of improvement. I think to bring people here to Aberdeen is going to be a challenge.
A record number of oil exploration licences have been granted to UK independent firms. The latest 52 awards takes total offers to an all-time high of 219. This allows 21 smaller companies to enter the market for the first time, and it's hoped the move will encourage more investment in the sector. And the big six energy firms were this week urged by the UK government to hold prices steady until the middle of 2015. The call's been made by the Westminster Energy Secretary on the condition there are no big increases in wholesale fuel costs. In return, ministers will look at whether green levies can be reduced, which could potentially cut annual bills. We took to the streets of Aberdeen to ask these people what they think about the plans.
They're absolutely ridiculous, and considering that I'm a carer for old people, they are upset about it.
They seem to be getting a good deal 1 month, and then it goes up later on anyway.
For a lot of people, it's becoming quite a burden, really.
Every year, it seems to be the case, and it's not just concern for me, but it's concern for the old people as well. I don't know how they can afford it, considering a lot of them just live on a pension.
I think it applies to a lot of people, yeah. Something certainly needs to be done.
Don't forget, for the latest news in the energy sector, tune into our special Energy Zone bulletins each weekday morning on North Sound during breakfast. That's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.